With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let me tell you where it all began. Born to Rizal back in 61. Before I heard the sound of the motor run. Before the young ones and those best the sons.
Hello.
Hey Phil, it's Matt Stocks. How are you?
Hey Matt, how are you, mate? All right?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, man. I'm really excited to have you on my show and chat to you because there is a lot of mutual friends between myself and yourself.
Okay.
Obviously, I know you lads very well. I've known those boys about 10 years now, since the Straight Line days. But in addition to them, Benji Webb, Whit Crane, Matt Pritchard, Lee Dayton, Chris Dean, Charlie Renton, all of these people are good friends of mine. I know dear friends of yours as well. And
yeah. All good people there.
The best people, the absolute best. I told the Sanchez boys I was chatting to you today, and they said to ask you, do you still have the teapot, the ball koozie teapot that they gave you all those years ago?
Yeah, still here somewhere, yeah.
They said it was...
Brilliant, isn't it? I forgot all about that.
The ball koozie teapot. They said the last time they saw you, it was there right next to your Grammy on the fireplace.
when they came up with that on... First time I saw that on the TV, Pritchard saying the ding, like, come on, give me a ball koozie. So funny.
It's the best. And so over the last few years, I've been going all over the country with Pritchard and Dayton doing like live Q&A events. So like an evening with Dirty Sanchez is how we've built it. And it's them just sort of talking and telling the stories from behind the scenes, as opposed to doing all the stunts like they used to do back in the day.
Right.
And a story which Pritchard tells at every available opportunity, because he loves it, is the story of the soda bar one night when it was him, you, and Stuart Cable. And he said that Stuart Cable and him were blowing cocaine up each other's assholes with straws. And he said you were just in the corner looking completely bemused. And he was like, this is Phil Campbell from Motorhead. He's seen it all. And he was like, what the fuck is wrong with you boys?
Yeah, I remember that distinctly, yeah.
You remember that night?
Yeah.
Is that pretty much how it went down? What's your memory of that?
It was. It was well over the top. Like, I don't think they realised what they were doing at the time, right? But I certainly told them about it later on. That's about it pretty much, I think. I didn't want to get involved with that.
I don't blame you,
no
mate.
No.
As you say, that's next level over the top. I love that friendship, though. And, you know, I've heard that, you know, back in the touring days when Sanchez and Motorhead were on the road around the same time, there was a few occasions when you were, you know, at the same festivals or whatever. And, you know, they said that they used, you know, Mickey's sticks a few times for various stunts. And I just love the idea of Sanchez and Motorhead, you know, out there in the world, you know, raising hell and causing trouble for, you know, all the way from Wales to worldwide shenanigans. It's a beautiful friendship.
Yeah, I think it was more or less in just in the UK a couple of times. We were on tour and they happened to be touring with their circus. I want to call it a circus. So we worked out like the times if we could manage it, and we managed to catch like half a show of theirs a couple of times. I think they borrowed Mickey's drumsticks on a few occasions to do various things with, but
to put them where drumsticks should never be put.
Yeah.
How did you first meet them, Phil? How did you meet those guys?
I don't know. I think it came down to a gig, Motorhead gig. This is such a long time ago now. I think it's just a Motorhead show. I'm not 100% certain how we met.
It seems to me, because my mum's from Brecon. She was born and raised in Brecon, so I've been going to Wales my whole life, and I've got, you know, deep-rooted connections and memories and attachments from, you know, from the earliest memories that I have to Wales. And whenever I meet anybody from Wales, there's always a kinship there. And, you know, it seems to me that everybody in Wales seems to know each other. And, you know, it seems whatever sort of line of entertainment you're in, whether it's the Dirty Sanchez guys or, you know, obviously Benji from Skindred, yourself, that there always seems to be Stuart Cable, of course. There's always this bond between the Welsh, because I think they're just good folk, aren't they? And I think that, you know, if you come from there, you never lose touch with who you are as a person. And,
they're all those people you mentioned. They're all really down to earth. Like,
yeah,
you know, they do what they do, but at the end of the day, you know, they're down to earth and probably, like, you know, they still live in Wales.
Yeah,
a lot of us still like it, you know.
Benji loves it as well. That I think that's the other thing I've noticed is obviously you're still there. I know Dayton and Pritchard are still with, you know, the places they've lived since forever in Cwmbran and Cardiff, and Benji's still in Newport, and that's a very telling sign as well, I think, that most people that I know from Wales, even if they travel the world and, you know, go here, there and everywhere, home is still for them always going to be Wales. What do you think it is about Wales that brings you back, Phil?
I just feel comfortable here, you know. It's where my family are, you know, and I can chill out a bit, you know. I've spent loads of time in Los Angeles over the years, like, you know. My wife used to say that I spend more time in the U.S. Well, it was true for 5 or 6, 7 years, like, than I was home. But it gets a bit too much, you know, living in the major cities after a while, you know. It's a bit hectic, you know. Like, I could never live in London, really. You know, I wouldn't feel comfortable there. I couldn't relax in London. So, yeah, I just like coming home.
Yeah, I've returned to where I grew up in the course of this pandemic. I was living in London, and because of losing out on, you know, most of my work from DJing and touring and things, I've had to move back home for a while. And it's actually been really nice. I actually don't miss London at all. You know, you sort of you end up there because it's the industry you're in, right? And you think, this is where the work is, this is where I need to be. But I don't actually miss anything about living there. It's great.
No,
not being
I can
there.
Understand that. Yeah.
How's about Benji? Have you known him since the Dub War days? How long have you two known each other?
I don't know, about 10 or 12 years, probably. I think I met him probably at one of the award shows in London a long time ago.
Right.
He's a good guy. Like, yeah, we call each other up now and again. Great singer, great frontman.
I think everybody who knows Skindred knows that he's a great singer and frontman, but there's, unfortunately, I think for me, too few people who know what an amazing vocalist he is outside of the kind of, you know, the rag and metal stuff that he does in Skindred, which is obviously great. But, you know, I've known Benji for a long, long time, and I've listened to all the other projects that he's done, whether it's Diamond Spider or, you know, this track that he's got on your solo record, which I want to get into with you in a moment. But he is such an amazing, soulful talented vocalist, isn't he? I think he's got one of the best, if not the best, voices in like the whole UK rock scene.
Yeah, definitely one of the best vocalists, you know, and superb frontman as well. He can, I think he can sing just about anything, really. You know, I put him to the test on my album. It was, you know, I should imagine a little bit out of his comfort zone. I don't think he was expecting that, really. You know, but he came up and, you know, he threw himself into it 100%. You know, and it was fantastic. Like, you know, lovely memories of watching him actually singing, you know, live there. And it was superb, so soulful.
Yeah, Dead Roses is a beautiful song as well. Did you write all the lyrics for all the tracks on that record? How did the, you know, the lyric side of the record come together?
No, each vocalist, I kind of, you know, suggested, well, you know, either just go for it, what do you think, or give them an idea to what to write about. Like, but I didn't do any of the lyrics, not on that one, no. It was hard enough to get the music together. But, you know, it worked out great in the end anyway, so I'm pleased I got it out. You know, I'm really so humbled that all these great artists, they took a bit of time out to do this for me, you know. So, really special.
And it's an incredible album. I'm not just saying that to be nice either. It is a really incredible record. And I think when sometimes you get a lot of guests on an album, and there are some amazing guests on this album, and sometimes when you have loads of guests feature, it almost like weighs the project down and the guests overshadow the songs. But with this album, every single song, because it's, you know, it's a very multi-dimensional record as well, there's lots of different sounds going on, and every single song stands alone as a beautifully written, well-executed, incredible song. And the reason I asked, I did think you'd done all the lyrics, is because it all does sound like a cohesive body of work, like it's all come from your mind as well. That's amazing that's not the case, but it certainly seems that way to the listener.
Yeah. You know, like, I've got, like, Mark King from Level 42. He's on bass on Left 4 Dead.
Yeah,
you know, and he, it's not his usual style at all, you know. But he played wonderful for me. He played for the song, you know. It was superb what he did, and I knew that. I think he played exactly what I'd hoped he was going to come up with, you know. It's too professional, you know. They do things for the songs. These guys, they weren't trying to, you know, be the and numero uno sort of thing, you know, on each track. Yeah. And as you said, but it worked out perfectly in the end. I'm really pleased.
So you mentioned Mark King there. One of my favorite nights of all time, Phil. This is such a special evening, and I'm sure you've got great memories of it as well. March the 13th, 2016. I remember the date because me and Benji share a birthday, March the 11th. And on this particular year, he said, Matt, this is what's happening on our birthday. Make sure you get to London, Camden, the Electric Ballroom. And it was the Mass Mental show. And, you know, all the best people in the world were there. Armon, Rob and his wife, Chloe, obviously Benji, obviously Whit, Mark King, who you mentioned there. And am I right in thinking that was your first live show after, obviously, Let Me Pass? So that must have been quite a, you know, a very special night for you, being surrounded by all these people who love you, being back on stage and playing Ace of Spades that night.
I don't know if it was my first time I'd been on stage. I'm not sure, actually. But it was the first time I did the Mass Mental thing. Like, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was great watching everyone else, you know, do their performance. You know, it was a good night.
It was an amazing night. Yeah, I've still got the poster signed by everybody that played. There's about 12 signatures on there, and I've got that framed. Yeah, that's always been one of my, you know, favourite nights, that, because, I mean, it's just an amazing collection of people. And Whitfield Crane, let's talk about him for a bit, because Whit, for me, is such a magical, unique, amazing individual. And he has talked to me at length over the years about his love for Motorhead and how amazing you guys have been to him over the years, like a family. And, you know, he just talks so highly of everybody in that camp. And he's an amazing guy himself, isn't he?
Yeah. We spoke the other day, actually. He's sending himself in Costa Rica.
Yeah, living the dream.
At the moment, like. He's another talented cat, you know. He's a great singer, got a heart of gold, you know. And we go back a very long time. And, he was always welcome, you know, on the Motörhead bus and on stage to sing. And it's a good friendship. And I was really, really pleased that I could get Whit to sing a track as well.
Yeah, I bet it would have been a dream come true for him. And the song that he's done, I mean, so Whit, again, right, everybody knows what a great vocalist Benji is. They might not have heard him in the particular style of Dead Roses before. But I think Whit is one of the most underrated singers in rock and roll, because everybody, I think, who doesn't know too much about Ugly Kid Joe, perhaps, you know, thinks they're this one-hit wonder band. But his vocal range and specific register that he can tap into is so powerful and soulful, and I love watching him sing, and he's just an amazing vocalist, isn't he, that I don't think gets the props he deserves.
Yeah, there's so many musicians, like, I think, don't get, you know, the claim that they deserve, but it doesn't stop them, like, you know. And it's great, he's quite laid back on stage. He does things in his own style, and his, you know, he's quite spontaneous, and he's just another great guy, great talent, great bloke. Like,
did he come over to the studios to record it with you, or was he on his travels? And did he send the files in?
Yeah, his files were with Whit. Yeah, you can never pin him down anyway. He's always been. He's always on some beach somewhere.
or in a hotel. Yeah, he's always said to me that his philosophy is very much just, you got your credit card, your passport, your backpack, go.
Yeah, even his backpack, yeah, that's all he needs. Yeah.
So two people, again, going with a mutual connection. I released a book last year, Phil, based on conversations that I've had on this show over the years. Two of my good friends, two great, great vocalists and human beings. I've never heard them appear together before. And actually, both of them in my book talk about their incredibly fond memories of not only touring with Motorhead, but both performing on stage, being invited by you and Lemmy to perform different tours. So Danko Jones and Nick Oliveri, both of those guys just think the sun shines completely everywhere Motorhead goes, all over the world. You know, they adore everything about Motorhead, and they both are still fans at heart. And getting those two together, what a genius move. Was that your idea to put them together, or how did that come about?
Yeah, it was my idea. I think, I wanted them both on the album, and I had the track there, which I thought they could be useful on, you know, and make their mark on it and everything. And it worked out great. So I was really pleased. So happy to have them on, you know. You go back a long way as well. And I played on some of their stuff, and they played on mine and everything. And it was always great touring with them, you know. It's always fun to get somebody up on stage as well, you know. And it couldn't have gone any better for me with a solo record, really. I was so lucky. You know, the gods were aligned for a change.
Yeah, no, I think it's just an amazing record. Those two together as well, they sound so great together. It's such an amazing pairing. They're both such powerful vocalists. You know, they're real powerhouses, those guys, physically, sonically, everything. And hearing them just like go, that song itself. So did they write the lyrics together? How did the lyrics for Walk the Talk come about?
Nick did his chorus first, the chorus lyrics.
Right.
And Nick sang on the chorus, and then I had Danko to write the verse, you know. to fit along with a chorus. And it was, yeah, it was great.
And, I mean, the three big boys, we'll have to talk about them. And sorry we're just going through all the tracks, but they're all too good to not mention, Phil. Rob Halford, Alice Cooper, and Dee Snider. That's kind of like the holy trinity of heavy metal right there. Incredible. And I guess the relationships with all of them date back years and years and years and years over all the tours and, you know, encounters you must have had. And what a special thing to have not one, not two, but all three of those guys on an album, and all those songs so different as well and work so well for each singer.
What else? I don't know what else to say. You know, they did a fantastic job. For me, you know, they took a time out. You know, they're all pretty busy, very busy guys anyway, and they took the time out and, you know, did what I asked of them, you know, and lent their talents and were, you know, wonderfully creative on the songs, you know, and so, yeah, it was good.
Was it a therapeutic and enjoyable process? And I know your son Todd produced the album as well. That must have been really fucking cool creating it with him. Was it a very rewarding and enriching and positive experience, this record? It sounds like it is. It sounds just like all joy, all love, good vibes from start to end.
Yeah, it was, you know, because Todd's like my right-hand man, especially like recording. He knows what I like, and you know he knows what I'm not gonna like and everything, you know. And he's wonderful. He's an amazing producer and engineer. You know, his productions, so like on the new album, on the With the Bastards, you know,
yeah,
incredible, massive sounds on that. But I feel at home in our studio with, you know, with Todd. And yeah, it was a good vibe. You know, it took 20 years coming.
I was reading that.
In the studio, we've still got a magazine, and the magazine is from like 1996. And it's me saying in a magazine, like, oh yeah, I'm hoping to start my solo record soon. You know, if we looked at the date in the magazine, I think it's 1996. So, that's when I first started waffling on about it. We finally got it done a couple of years ago.
It makes Chinese Democracy look like an overnight record, yeah.
yeah.
I love it. The big sort of hook for me as well is, so the first song in, just to kind of finish on the solo record, the first song in, Rocking Chair, I was like, wow, is the whole album going to be like this? And I was down for that ride if it was. I think it makes all the hard-hitting, you know, heavy, balls-out rock tracks that follow all the more enjoyable and powerful. But that first song in, who is, Phil, Leon Stanford? I've never heard that guy before.
He's in Tyler's other band, The People, the Poet. He's
right.
A singer. And he's a great lyricist and amazing vocalist, you know. Him and Tyler are really writing songs together all the time. You know, People are Poet, an amazing band in their own right. And, yeah, Leon came down and he kind of interviewed me asked me questions for like half an hour and had his notebook. And he wrote about this, you know, the lyrics, the start of my career and basically my musical journey.
Yeah.
And now, he nailed it.
He absolutely nailed it. He did such a good job. That's why I thought, again, that perhaps you'd written all the lyrics, as it sounds, that song's so personal. You know, it's obvious that it's your story, but it sounds like it's personally coming, you know, from your mouth. The words are so specific and well-detailed and just bang on.
I only got the best on my album, Matt. Only the best.
No, you do.
They all got something special, like, you know. But it was good. I didn't know how it would be, you know, taken, really, the album, because I guess a lot of people are just expecting a bunch of, you know, Motorhead-type riffs and songs, you know. But I took a bit of a gamble, I guess, and you know, did some other stuff. Some of the songs I've had for a long time, you know, I wanted to get them out of my system. So yeah, I had great reviews for it. So it was wonderful. Yeah.
Well, that Swing It song with Alice Cooper
couldn't have gone any better. Like, pardon?
The Swing It song with Alice Cooper is, you know, that stands alongside some of his best Alice Cooper songs of like the last 30 years for me. It's such a good track, that one. And I think really the ace in the whole of the whole album is Left for Dead. I was listening to that because I'd never heard of Skin before. They're one of those bands that must have just for whatever reason eluded me. And I was like, who is this fucking vocalist? Such an emotive, beautiful voice. And that song.
Yeah, another Welshman. Yeah. Great singer. He's in Hand of Dimes now.
I'll have to check them out because I loved his voice instantly. As soon as I heard it, I was like, wow, this is a great voice. You're right, Phil. Strictly the best.
Neville McDonald. Yeah. His band have played with Bernie Marsden a few times on some shows.
Right.
Called it Bernie. He's with Hand of Dimes, they're called, yeah.
Yeah, if anybody's listening to this now and they haven't heard the record, I strongly suggest the first thing they do when this conversation's over is go check it out, Old Lion Still Raw. And, you know, then there's just people like Mick Mars and Matt Sorum and Ray from Korn, all these other amazing musicians all over the record as well. The line that really got me, the line that really got me, Phil, in the first song is "Before the Young Ones and the Bastard Sons." And that's that. From that moment, I was instantly hooked in, because am I right in thinking your first gig with Motorhead was on the Young Ones?
Yeah, it wasn't long after I joined. We recorded a new version of Ace of Spades, and then I think within a couple of days we were in the BBC studio, like, doing it. Yeah, that was the first gig, the first public engagement, as the Royals say.
That's amazing. How was that experience? Did you get any time with Rick and Aid, and did you get to
bond
with those guys?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun watching them clown about and everything.
I interviewed Aid Edmondson years ago, and he told me an interesting story. So the reason I don't know whether you knew this, the reason there's music in all the Young Ones shows is because they couldn't get a budget from the comedy department of the BBC. So it had to go through, I think, the Light Entertainment. And part of that, you know, caveat was that you had to have a live song in each episode.
Oh, really?
So the reasoning behind it, because obviously Madness was in it as well, and there's all these iconic performances, but the reasoning was actually to get it through the BBC, that had to be written into their contracts that each episode needed a song.
They had to go to the Light Entertainment department. Brilliant.
Yeah, so you've got Motorhead.
They didn't really want us. It was a necessity for them.
And you've got Motorhead, like the world's loudest band, in the Light Entertainment department. Brilliant.
That's funny, yeah.
So the new Bastard Sons record, We're the Bastards, that's out as well. And you guys have been doing, COVID aside, of course, quite a few tours and shows, and how's it been going on the road? I assume your sons will have been out on the road with you, you know, just with you a lot in the past, but how is it playing with, you know, Tyler, Dane and Todd? And that must be such a beautiful, special, rewarding experience every night jamming with your lads.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, it's a bit strange at first, you know, after so many years with Motorhead, but we've got it on pretty good now, you know. We love playing live. Last year, unfortunately, was going to be our busiest year. We had Guns N' Roses shows, and we had festivals all over the bloody planet and all that. So, it's great now, you know. So, you know, a lot of times I'm forgetting I'm on stage with my kids, you know. It just feels like I'm in a new kick-ass rock band, you know.
Amazing, yeah.
And then you think a light bulb comes on, and oh my gosh, kids, you know, they're all so great at what they do. You know, and we've got a good live reputation as well. You know, we were the last the last shows we did, the last, you know, bunch of tours, the attendances were really good. So it's been picking up well, you know.
Yeah, it's building.
And then we put out this great album, you know, it's with 13 original track album in November, and it's all slamming on that, you know. I think everyone performed wonderfully, you know, and the songwriting's brilliant. The production is brilliant. What more do you want? You know, just turn the volume up.
What's the singer's name as well? He's a great vocalist, great little front man as well.
Neil Starr.
Yeah, he is a star. There you go. Yeah, I watched you guys quite a few nights on the Airborne tour that you did. Airborne as a band, but Joel and Ryan, the brothers in particular, are two of my best friends as well. And I've, you know, just been all around the world with those guys, loved them to bits. And I was actually there in the studio because I made a documentary about them. And I was there in the studio when they were filming the music video to It's All for Rock and Roll. And obviously, you know, you guys loaned them the bomber plane for that video. And, you know, I was chatting to Joel. It was all on film, all on film and in the documentary. And he was just, you know, he was underneath the thing on the set talking about, you know, how much it meant to have you guys, you know, in the same way that, you know, I guess with Ugly Kid Joe and the way you let them use the Motorhead font and the, you know, the icon for their merch and things like that. Like, you guys don't do that for just anyone. And, you know, that's like the, you know, the hand of friendship that I know means the world to people like Wit and the Airborne guys. And they had a great day making that video with the bomber on set. It was a special day.
Yeah, with a font thing, that was supposed to be a one-off. I did it for Wit. And all this, they're still using it. It's supposed to be a one-off, not a single. I said, oh, go on, then. Just this time. Bastard.
That's amazing. He's running with it. But yeah, I was going to say, you were great on that Airborne tour. Absolutely great every night. I love watching you play. And I'm sure when things reopened, because didn't you have a massive German tour planned as well? Loads of dates in Germany. Is that like a hot spot for the band? You seem to be doing pretty well down there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we had a lot. We had a lot planned. You know, we had... We were going to play what do you call it? Spurs ground with Guns N' Roses as well, and some other shows. But they got bottled as well, like everything else. So yeah, we had a really full year last year. We ended up playing zero shows.
Wow. Well, you'll be back, I'm sure. And I mean, has any part of it been for you enjoyable, having the downtime, or are you eager to get back out there and get back to doing what you do best?
Well, it's nice to recharge your batteries a bit, you know. I think everyone's aching now to tread the boards again, you know. And it's going to be great. It's going to the audiences are going to be ecstatic, you know, and the bands are going to be happy. They're playing again, and the volume's going to be a bit louder. I guess so. You've got a lot to look forward to in the not too distant future, I hope.
Amen. Yeah, everybody that I've spoken to is in. I mean, this is the first time that I think everybody in the world has been in the same boat. I think that's one of the few interesting and positive things about this whole ordeal. Is it seems like everybody for the first time ever is on the same page of wanting the same things and in the same position and having experienced the same things.
The world has never stood still before like this, you know. And there's so many casualties and, you know, it sucks. So the quicker everything's sorted out, the better, basically.
Would you ever do a book, Phil? Is that something that interests you or...?
I did. I was approached, and I did an initial meeting with two wonderful guys. Came over from Sweden, but I decided I don't want to do it now. I just want to keep things to myself. A lot of it.
I appreciate that and respect that. Yeah, and there must be so many fond memories, and you know what a life, hey.
Yeah, no, I'm not, no complaining. Yeah, we had a good laugh from Modred, you know. And we did play rock and roll, and we had a good time along the way. Good ride.
And it's not over yet. And, the, you know, there's still plenty of gas left in the tank with the Bastards. And
too now, yeah.
Congratulations on an amazing new record. And as I said, that solo album for me is one of the best solo albums I've ever heard, I think. It's, and just, you know, knowing so many people on it as well really heightened my enjoyment. But, you know, hearing Nick and Danko together in that way, and hearing Benji, and, you know, getting exposed to new singers like Leon and Nev, and yeah, it's just, it's an amazing record. And it's been really nice to chat to you today, man. It's something I've wanted to do for a long time. And, you know, I understand that you don't do a lot of these, so I do appreciate you giving up the time and coming on the show for a chat. And hopefully when things are back open and you're out with the boys, I can come down to one of the shows and say hello in person.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll drag Pritchard and Dayton along. And
not too many.
And yeah, well, I'll tell them to leave their straws and their powder at home, though.
All right, definitely, yeah. Well, it's been nice talking to you as well, Matt.
Nice one, mate. Have a great day.
Okay, have a great day.
And
all right, all the best, Chief.
Till next time, Phil. Nice one, mate.
Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
See you again. Thank you.
Solar is, it ain't so bad, rock and roll.